And the last part of Hebrews 2:14 and verse 15. The Saviour also himself likewise took part of the same, that's flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Especially those words, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. It is a wonderful picture in Scripture that how when the church prayed and when Peter was in prison and that he was handcuffed to four lots of soldiers at regular intervals, they could change, but he was there in prison. When the Lord chose to release him, an angel led the way and all the doors opened, one after the other, and he found himself free. And only then was he able himself to cope with the rest of things. Now, this wonderful expression that he came to deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. There is much to be feared in death. And none of us knows what we're talking about because none of us have quite got there, though we may have seen it. But some people worry about it more, and there are some who don't think about it at all, and neither of those two extremes are the most helpful in handling. Now, death is called in the Bible the King of Terrors. And in verse 14 here, we're told that the devil is the one who has the power of death. And therefore it is true that we are imprisoned to him. This picture of bondage, of course, is very powerful. Makes you think of these great metal balls and chains with which they could chain one leg to a prisoner, one to a prisoner's leg, one to each leg, and could, if they wanted to be nasty, add one to each arm as well. And it hurt. You remember it was described in the Psalm of Joseph that they hurt him in fetters. And it hurts to be in bondage. We use the phrase, of course, metaphorically. We say that we're in bondage to something if we're under the control of something, which we're not our own masters, which we do despite ourselves. But there are those who are in bondage to death all their lifetime. Now, there is much to be afraid about. It is very difficult to think of our lives, your life, being snuffed out. Of one moment existing in this life that is the only one we've known, and the next to be transposed into another place where God is in control. And death causes unknown. And death also is followed by judgment. And death may, but not always, have pains associated with it. So there are many reasons, and all combined is perhaps the worst, why somebody might live their lifetime in bondage to death. Clearly you can see that not ever to think about it is a grave mistake. If there is one thing that will happen to us all, it is death. And it seems a nonsense not to think about it. And of course we're made to think about it. Every time we see a funeral go by, every time we attend a funeral service, every time we read of tragedies and deaths or multiple deaths, just so that we might remember our end. And if there are steps to be taken, that we might take those steps. Now, here in the scripture we are told that there are steps to be taken. We'll come to that. You must ask yourself whether you fear death and to what extent it is a bondage. Now, we're going to talk in a moment about the Lord Jesus coming to deliver us from the bondage of death. But first we need to ask ourselves, is the prospect of dying, is the thought that we might die or might die suddenly or unexpectedly, is it something that makes us so that we can't do anything practically? Now, if you believed that you were going to die immediately, however true that might or might not be, you clearly wouldn't go for a 3-year examination, you clearly wouldn't take out a mortgage, and you clearly wouldn't do anything that involved a long time scale. There was a time in Christian history when they used to teach that because the Lord might return at any time, you had to expect his return at any time. And that is right, but you do have to do it carefully, for the Lord has said he's going away for a long time. But then you have to evaluate, has 2,000 years been a long time? We're clearly much nearer to the Lord's return now than we were those years ago. We're a nearer generation. We have to think through very carefully the things that hold us in thrall concerning death. One of the first sermons I ever remember, as I've told you before, my minister through whom I was saved — I didn't go to church till I was 16 and I was saved within a few weeks of going — but one of the early things I remember him teaching when I was 16 is that it's the best time to think about death because it isn't almost happening. Now, again, you know that it could, it might, but there clearly is a truth that when you're a teenager, it seems less likely. And for that reason, you may think about it dispassionately. Think about it in theory. Thinking about it as if it wasn't you, but was just death in theory. We are very likely to be drawn into bondage if someone we know and love suffers a serious illness unto death. A child who observes that sort of death might well turn out to be frightened lifelong by it. I remember during the war years — sorry, I'm as old as that — but I remember during the war years, in the middle of an air raid, in the thick of the night, it was dark, no lights were allowed, and you had blackouts and everything. My mum, who had not been very well, was sick all over the floor, terribly sick. And I'd never seen anything like it, because it wasn't just sickness. It was big clots of blood and everything like that. Never forgotten it. Now, she didn't die. I had to go out, throw stones at the doctor's window, who also had it barred, and who I couldn't knock out to attract his attention, to come. But you do never forget things like that. And if anybody has had traumatic experiences of death while they were young, then you don't live it down. I remember once, as I've also told you, when I was hitchhiking, letting a car — well, the car went by me, it didn't stop for me. And when eventually I got a lift in the lorry, we came to this terrible situation where two cars overtaking another lorry had collided head on, and in the midst of the glass and the pouring rain, four people were lying dead in the road. And it has strange effects on you. I never thought of that I didn't want to die. But I always thought I didn't want to die in the rain or in public. So we never know quite what effect these things happen. So people, and you may be one of them, may be in bondage to death. And it isn't a satisfactory way to live. And it is a wonderful thing that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to take away from us that bondage. Now, it may be that he might handle personal situations in ways that are to do with his spirit and their spirit. He might have made it known to me, he didn't, but he might have made it known to me that I wouldn't die in the rain, for example. Something appropriate to me and something specific. He didn't make it known to me either that I wouldn't die a public death. But he might. But whatever is needful to deliver from the bondage of Satan, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the gospel, has done it. But not always by the gospel do we take it so much to heart that we necessarily lose that bondage. Well, he came to deliver those who through fear of death were all their life subject to bondage. All their thinking life. Maybe from childhood. It may be from early youth. But the Lord clearly underlines here in the scripture that this is something that may be long-lasting and that may be deeply embedded, and that he's come to bring deliverance, to bring relief. Now, the reason I quoted about Peter was that that story from the Acts of the Apostles brings home the power of deliverance. So much so, as we thought this morning, that Rhoda thought it was Peter's ghost when he turned up. They'd only been praying for it. But when he actually turned up and the Lord had actually done it, it took her as a servant girl by surprise. But the Lord does come to deliver. The Lord does come to deal with those deepest traits within us. Now, the fear of death isn't the only one. Our darling sins is another. And the principle that deals with death also will deal with them. But I'm talking particularly about death. Death is that which we all, in some way, have to consider because it happens to all of us. Now, we're told here that the Lord Jesus Christ took human flesh. That the great God, from the foundation of the world, sent his only begotten Son with his agreement and gave him the people he was to save, that he should come to earth being fully man as well as fully God, born of a virgin. So the Lord Jesus took on him human flesh. Mankind was partakers of flesh and blood. Every believer who's going to be saved also takes part of flesh and blood. First that which is natural and then that which is spiritual. So Jesus Christ took part of flesh and blood, was really and properly a man. And of course you could argue that being perfect and being human, he was more alert, more troubled, more sensitive than even the greatest of human beings, so that he would have felt the death of his people more acutely, perhaps even than they did themselves. So he knows, in that sense, what death does to people. If next time you read through the Gospels, and as Jesus gets nearer to Calvary, you might ask yourselves, how much is it on his mind that he's going to die? You probably won't be able, I don't think any of us can tell, how much it was on his mind as to the pain of death, as to the nature of the death, as to the purpose and consequence of death, that it will save his people from their sins. But it did weigh upon him. In preparing for it in the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweated, we are told in Luke, great drops of blood. The expression "as it were" is used, and that can mean that it wasn't blood, but that it was like blood. But it could equally mean, we use the expression "as it were," so unusual, but this is what it was. And that would be the line I would take. But the Lord Jesus knew about death. And he came to be identified with his people in death. Now, if I speak very reverently, you won't misunderstand me. But this is a new experience for God. How can God, who is a spirit and in heaven, know from first-hand experience what human beings who are in the flesh and on earth actually go through? He knows what he's cursed the earth about and what they will go through, but actually at ground level to have experienced that, I might speak as a fool, but it seems that only the Lord Jesus Christ, taking human flesh, can actually bring God into man's perspective. But of course he does more than that, because he's perfect man. He just doesn't take man's perspective. He changes man's perspective. And he changes man's perspective in two particular ways. He changes man's perspective in that he suffers for sin. Through death, he might destroy the power. Now, the power of Satan lie particularly because Adam and Eve sinned and they succumbed to his temptation. So he had them in his power, but not ultimate power. All power is not given to him. All power is only given to Jesus. But that power is very powerful. You try getting out of a temptation. It is a very powerful thing. And the Lord Jesus took human flesh to destroy that grip. And he does it in no way that man could ever devise, in a way that no human religion has ever devised, but in the way that God from heaven uniquely devised. Namely, that believing in his dear only begotten Son, believing in the perfection of his only begotten Son, believing in the achievement of his Son, all of which is basic, you then became identified with him, so that you become in Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So that you become in Christ, and his perfections are ours, and he takes our imperfections. And this is the way in which he delivers his people. Not by any works, not by any achievements. We couldn't be like that, because mostly as we die, our powers weaken. They don't increase. So the Lord Jesus has come by on the cross, bearing our sins, we may be pardoned and identified with him. The Father, seeing him, sees us in him and accounts to all who are in him everything that belongs to his Son. While the Son has taken away all our iniquities, so they are remembered no more. So he came in that sense to deliver. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ delivers from the fear of death. But there is another reason, and that is the reason that he gives life. eternal life, life everlasting, life with him in the glory. That sort of life that when we've been here, as John Newton says, 10,000 years, because we're in him, our life will always last as the Saviour's life lasts, as long as God's life lasts, from everlasting to everlasting. As long as he is alive, we will be alive. Now, in our thinking, that is important, because the proportion, the length of eternity and the quality of eternity without sin outweighs every drawback of life, including death, including the pains of death. It's an expression that the psalmist used. The pains of death compass me. Days when there were no anaesthetics worth talking about. And so it is that the Lord Jesus has come to give us a new perspective. We can endure for a day, for a night, the terrible sufferings, if it happens to us, of death, or that could happen to us in death, for the great eternity without sin in Christ that lies before us. The Saviour has come to deliver us from the power of death, but that was given to him because of man's fall and man's sin. When that is reversed, when by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, our sin is put away and our life is hid with Christ in God, then that power is shattered and therefore we are delivered from the devil who has the power of death into the glorious gospel, into the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus deserves all the glory. There was none like him. And for each individual one of us, no one has ever been like him in our lives. He is one among 1,000, one among 10,000. But that's just a way of saying, in our lives, unique. We have never known anything like him. And he has done that for those who believe in him that nobody else can ever do. That is, remove their sins, and in glory they will no more come into remembrance anymore. So here is another great incentive for believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He comes to deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And he takes part of the flesh and blood that we have, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil. But are you, and am I, fully committed to such a Saviour, fully believing in such a Saviour, fully trusting such a Saviour, that though death might not be quick in our case, or painless in our case, we do not know. And though we think about death, we are not in bondage to it, because we're in Christ, in whom is vested all resurrection and all life from the dead.